Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Joss Ogoniye, Will Bluewater, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation. Well, hello everybody, this is Will Bluewater coming to you tonight. We're live with Steve Morningchild, and I'm not sure if the music played out or what happened, but apologies if there was some kind of an error. Steve is a bundle dancer, and I don't have your bio in front of me, or maybe I do here. Read it a little bit from Mark Borchardt's with us also, and Mark is going to be doing a Mayan birth reading for Steve. But we have a slow. Everything is so slow tonight. I just cannot believe how long it takes. I guess it's Sunday night and everybody's on the internet. But just sometimes it takes forever to get pages to load. But Steve's a humble guy. There's not a whole lot out there. I'm going to torture this. I'm going to make the attempt. But it looks like Omikwan Nyo Awasis
Steve Morningchild is a Cree in the fictional province of Saskatchewan in the fictional country of Canada. And he has written, he says, "I deeply comment from the bottom of my heart on your endeavor to get your land back. We still have our tribal custom and usage here, and with the Creator, Great Spirit's blessing, we'll succeed with our ceremonies, which we still do, and keep you in our prayers. The foundations to international law are overseas. It's the Palladium of the Troy Treaty, Noah's Ark Treaty, Seal of Solomon Treaty in the North and South Americas. It's the Wampum Belt Treaty, Canes of Authority Treaty, and the Peace Pipe Treaty is where we reside. That's with brothers and sisters, and we're all part of the Creator's Great Spirit's children, white, yellow, red." But we want to welcome Steve to the program, and he's been working hard. He's been out at ceremony, and he's going to be doing some more. I guess he's going to be talking tonight a little bit about the bundle dance. But first, Mark, if you're ready, why don't you? Well, let Steve say hi, and then we'll.
Hello.
Yeah. And then we'll have Mark. Are you ready to go, Mark?
Sure.
Okay, go for it, and we'll get there's some badger medicine. There we go.
I love that truck.
There we go.
Between the Cheetos, that thing there.
Okay.
So, on Steve's birth. And the traditional Mayan day count was on a day called Four Etznab. And it has a lot of some very interesting things. I'll go over a few of them. But first, kind of the numbers in the glyph. The four of the four Etznab kind of relates to balancing things of energies and elements. You know, the wind, water, earth, and fire, bringing those together in a balance of their energies. And then the Etznab part of it, that's bringing in an aspect of a kind of a yin and yang, again, the balancing again. A symbol a lot of times is a double-bladed obsidian knife blade. So it it has to do with a lot of meanings of it, of willingness to make a sacrifice for the good of other people. A lot of people don't understand that meaning of willing to make sacrifices to help others and for the benefit of everybody else. Four Etznab is sitting in a larger cycle, hence the men or the eagle cycle. So I wouldn't be surprised if Steve has some eagle spirit power kind of guiding him along. Etznab also has to do with light, energy, and Lakota, they have something called Skanskan, the two lights coming in. It looks like, you know, if you took a teepee and turned another teepee upside down and stuck them together, it kind of makes an hourglass-like shape. And that has to do with kind of a radial light energy. So I would suspect Steve probably has some connections in with that. Two forms of light coming in and moving and swirling around and connecting and forming our reality or creation. Now in another viewpoint here, we're going to go over some more things, and it's going to be a forward time flow, a backward time flow, and where these two time flows come together and create a unity. So on the forward one, Steve has some energy that's of the sun. And it's things that relate, and this is probably more going forward from his birth, things that he's probably carried with him his whole life. Cornus basically spiritual gifts. It has to do with the flowering or growth of things, courage. Probably his whole life he's had a very strong concept of oneness, of unity. Kind of was the Lakota Omataki essence, and the Mayans say in Lakesh, everything, all is related. And so he's probably had that for his whole life, a pretty strong sense of that. And in connection with that is awareness, flourishing, prosperity of things, and things with intention. So things with the sun, things about getting together, connecting everything as one, and the direction of intention with a purpose of forming things and doing things. Dimensionality of things, working with that. On the backward flow of time, coming back to us from the next world cycle into this one, these are things that may have been showing up in his life recently, maybe back as far as 1997 or maybe even before that, and it's getting stronger. And these are things about strengthening will, purpose and discipline, things with polarity, things with challenging things with the polarity of things. Energies that have to do with soul, joy, forgiveness, things like that, you know, just being a good person, all that. And these coupled in with free will and being present in things. So those types of things of a purpose and working with a polarity of energies of all different types. And then I suspect he's probably been working on things to help people reach this, being able to teach people about forgiveness, helping to forgive past wrongs and stuff, and helping fix those types of problems, because if we fix those, and that'll probably help out a lot. I suspect he's been doing those type of things. It's been probably part of his purpose and discipline and will to be doing that. Now, where these two come together and form the unity point of the two energies moving forwards and backwards in time, this one's about, says that he has the ability to teach, especially teach things that are wisdom teachings. Especially when they're about will, opening up new pathways, community, things about community and cooperation within the community of people, and also teaching things that have to do with art and making things. Also an overriding background energy or strength of using dreams and intuition and stuff to guide the wisdom and the teaching of the wisdom. And part of this wisdom that he's probably going to be using is universality of all, or again, that oneness, how everything in creation is unified together. So I suspect he has a very good talent at teaching that type of wisdom, and it's one that's going to not only help other people, but helps Steve move from this world cycle into the next one. It's essentially the bridge or the doorway or the path that gets him from one place to the other, is doing this type of teaching with community and wisdom and cooperation and all that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you were born to do what you're doing. Is that any surprise?
Well,
what
you hit everything on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, some people are put in their mother's wombs to do certain things, and I guess we live in those times.
Oh, one other thing, Blue Otter. The one I just mentioned, actually several of his glyphs, they're sitting in a cycle in a pitcher, in the center of that pitcher is a nine eek.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah, both of his things that we saw on the four-et snab and also on the I just mentioned, the Unity reading, both of those two are both connected into the nine eek.
So that connects him with Quetzalcoatl.
Exactly.
We get a lot of guests that are mysteriously connected somehow to Quetzalcoatl. Huh?
Yeah. Oh,
but,
the other thing I forgot to mention.
Uh-huh.
On his four etznab, or four in the Aztec version or Toltec version, it would be Nahui Tecpatl. And that one is, that particular date, there's an interesting event occurred. That is the date in the calendar, in their calendar, that the image of Guadalupe appeared.
Wow.
Down in Mexico. I believe there's some evidence that suggests, in some of the people I talked to, that that image and White Buffalo Calf Woman are actually the same thing. And so Steve might benefit by learning about that and about Teotihuacan and the Pyramid of the Sun and the connection between that image and the Pyramid of the Sun, specifically to a cave that's sitting underneath that pyramid.
Uh-huh.
And that relates back to Quetzalcoatl well also, because if you take the name Teotihuacan, Teo is Lord, Wa is water, and Con is serpent. Lord, wind, and water, or Lord of water, serpent, Quetzalcoatl. Quetzal being Teo, and the wind, and the coatl relating to Huacan, Teotihuacan.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Osio is Cherokee for hello. This is Chia Sagonige, also known as Will Bluewater. I'm the International Communications Director for the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. I'm speaking on behalf of the seven clans and beloved woman Sharon Rogers, wife of Chief Priest and Principal Chief Charles L. Yatlohi Rogers, M.D., oncologist. Their family discovered the tomb in Mexico of Sequoia, the world-famous inventor of the Cherokee alphabet and the namesake of the Cherokee National Forest in California. The state of Oklahoma was very nearly named the state of Sequoia. Nación Cherokee de México, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, is known in the United States as the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia of Mexico, Texas, and the USA Reservation and Church. Free of any charge, we are accepting citizenship and adoption applications, not only from Cherokee descendants, but from all people of good heart, from all lineages, just as we did for the 10,000 plus years before the United States government fairly recently imposed restrictions on Cherokee citizenship. Tennessee Governor Sam Houston had not one drop of Cherokee blood, yet he left office and later became Kalanu, or Speaker of Council, second only to Chief John Jolly of the Cherokee Nation West. The Republic of Mexico has recognized the Cherokee four times since the 1700s, and Spain five times before that. We possess original physical copies of all those treaties. In January of 2001, the San Andres Accords, enabling government-to-government tripartite relationships between sovereign Indian nations and the government of Mexico, were passed by the Mexican Congress. A few weeks later, the first such sovereign Indian nation, Nación Cherokee de México, was federally recognized in a solemn ceremony in Torreón, the capital of the state of Coahuila, formerly known as the province of Coahuila in Texas. The ceremony was followed by a fabulous celebration, which was attended by Cherokee elders from all over the Americas, including citizens of the federally recognized Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. People like Squaw Yee, the famed bowmaker, Al Heron. There is so much more to share with you, so I encourage you to visit our website at CherokeeDiscovery.com. While you are visiting the website, feel free to fill out a free citizenship application. Please be patient, though. We have no paid staff, and applications may take up to 9 months or more to get processed. If you're not a Cherokee, feel free to request adoption. And please don't forget, tell them Blue Water sent you. Ski. Wado.
Wow. Well, now you know. Now you know why you're doing what. Did you ever wonder why you're doing what you're doing, Steve?
Well,
did you ever wonder why you ended up doing what you're doing rather than building skyscrapers and or
yeah.
dishes or something else?
Well, first of all, I'm let me introduce myself. My Cree name, Nihilwihun, is Omegwanil Awafis, which means winged child in Cree. My grandfather, Wapan Awasis, means morning is Wapan, and Awasis in Cree is child, so white man comes along and says morning child. But it's supposed to be Wapan Awasis. That's my grandfather's Cree name. He only had one name back then. Now you need 20 names before the Wapskoya's white man will recognize who you are.
Yeah, they're funny about that.
Yeah. And I'm, I do a lot of reading about Meredith Quinn Musa. His Indian name is Musa. Is Meredith Quinn. He came from Wahpeton, South Dakota. Talks about Sesetin, South Dakota, Wahpeton. That's where he said he was from. I got all kinds of his writings with me, and I read just about all of them. And you're talking about the serpent.
Wow.
Well, to me, the serpent religion means time. The serpent means nothing to me. It's time. In his writings, he says, well, the sun is not a big ball of fire as we figure it's supposed to be. It's not a big ball of fire. It's when you go from here to the moon, it's total darkness. So to set an example, you turn on your switch to turn your light on the light bulb. You know, it gives off light. But you put something in front of it, and that's that would be your world, and it would be light all over. You know, there would be hardly any darkness if there was a big ball of fire, which would be the sun. But according to Meredith Quinn, it's time leaving the sun, going at 35 million miles per second, which takes 2.5 seconds for time to reach Earth and bounce back. Going faster, so this is what creates light. Light is a byproduct of time. And about the serpent religion, you know, I see down in the Mayan territory, down south there, they got the pictures of snakes and all that. To me, it's time religion. How do I explain this? You go put yourself about a billion miles up in the air and you look back at the sun, and from the sun right down to Pluto, it would look like a big snake writhing, because time traveling, it kind of wobbles. I heard somebody, you can bend light, but you can bend time also. I got it on my I got a picture of it on my computer, and when they first seen it, the Vatican, the Pope, that's a serpent serpent religion. They're prey to the snake, which is BS.
Yeah.
It's time. Every time I see a serpent, a religion, when they talk about serpent religion, I always say, it's nothing but time religion. That's why we have time walkers.
Well, we
and
see
this,
a serpent.
Ceremony that I'm doing, it's similar to the one Bigfoot and his followers were killed for, or after they finished, or before they did that ceremony. It's similar to that, the one I'm doing. We just finished doing one here last Tuesday, and I'll be doing mine. I thought I was going to do it on the 6th, but I'll have to move it a day back, so it'll be on September 5th, which will be on a Friday. I'll be doing my ceremony on that date, because there are other ceremonies. We just finished one. Where I live, there is 6 different ceremonies that are performed by the people around, you know, the surrounding area, which is the Sun Dance, Chicken Dance, they call it. We just finished one up north here, about 50 miles north. And they got the pipe ceremony, they got the horse dance, and Japan! But there's 6 different ceremonies that we do here, and I participate in every one of them. And when we do our ceremony, according to Meredith Quinn's teachings, down in Vero, Florida, and Melbourne, Florida, they found dinosaur bones. Alongside it, laying beside the dinosaur bones, were human vertebrae. And scientists know that the Indian of North and South America, for that matter, survived the last 5 ice ages. That our great ancestors walked this world with the dinosaurs.
Makes sense.
And when we have our ceremonies, we feed the dinosaurs when we throw tobacco and food, along with the print into the water. We pray to the water, because water interconnects, whether it's salt water or fresh water. Hey!
That's okay. They're not making that.
That's my great granddaughter.
They're not bothering us. It's okay.
She's kind of hungry, I guess. So they're going to have to.
Sure.
Feed her. Yeah, but this is what we about the ceremony I'm doing. This is what we do. We feed the dinosaurs that our ancestors walked this world with. You know, that's not billions of years ago. Scientists are lying to everybody in the face of this world. See, the last polar shift happened about 12, 13,000 years ago, not millions of years ago.
Yep.
This is the findings of Meredith Quinn, his teachings. And when we have our ceremony, we invite the people that passed on ahead of us. I don't know how many years ago, hundreds of years ago, when an old lady passed on, they would cut the braid off as her head and bury, or however they did their ceremonies. But they wrapped this up and blessed it, and this is what we use. The hair of the old ladies that passed on, our grandmothers, our clan mothers, because this world was run by clan mothers, not the patriarch society. It was the matriarch society here in North America and South America and in Europe. Cleopatra was a clan mother. She was not a queen. But she was a clan mother for the white tribe. And we just finished doing a ceremony inside a crater that came from the sky, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands of years ago. And they left the crater right by a river, and this is where we finished the ceremony today, which was the first one for me to do it inside that crater that landed from the heavens. You know, how long ago, I don't know. And another thing that the Vatican and the federal governments of all countries don't want Indians to own these meteorites that come through space, because our ancestors talked with the beings from up there. I had a dream about a couple of men that came on these UFOs, and they talked to each other right in front of me, and they said, this is the world. We came here one time already. So they got back in their craft, and they flew away. And in the meantime, Mother Earth was shaking like it was going to disintegrate, and the sun was giving off the colors of the rainbow. At the same time, these beings came into the house. And when they went out through the window, through the wall, Mother Earth stopped, then the sun went back to its natural color, and everything is going to turn topsy-turvy from that moment on. The evil stuff is going to go down, and the good stuff is going to be the one that we're going to be our law. I do a lot of studying on Meredith Quinn. And another thing, I'm not a Native American. I am American Indian.
Oh.
Because if you call yourself Native Noah.
Oh, the Thunder people agree.
Eh?
The Thunder people agree. Did you hear the boom?
We're American Indians. We're not Native Americans. If you call yourself Native, you'll probably ship you overseas because you were born overseas.
Yeah.
Even the Black's Law Dictionary book identifies the word Native as born abroad. So I shy away from that word native. I keep telling people, but they just won't listen. And what can you do? When the time comes, who are they going to run to?
Well, when AIM went to Switzerland years ago, they voted that we're going to call ourselves American Indians.
Yeah. Because Noah was the one that created natives.
And, can you repeat that name? Steve, can you repeat that name again?
Meredith Quinn?
No, the Noah. Somebody created
Noah. You know the Noah's Ark? Noah's
okay.
Noah? He
uh-huh.
was the one that created natives.
Uh-huh.
And there was no such a thing as Noah's Ark, according to Meredith Quinn. It was just a treaty. See, overseas, like you, the first one you first came on, you mentioned the six Aboriginal treaties. Well, three of them are from England, overseas, like Europe, which is the Palladium of Troy Treaty, Sheila Solomon Treaty, and Noah's Ark Treaty. And here in North and South America, for that matter, it's the Wampum Belt Treaty, Canes of Authority Treaty, and the Peace Pipe Treaty, which is where I'm at right now.
Are you Treaty 7? Is your band a Treaty 7 band, Steve?
No, Treaty 6.
Okay.
Treaty 6 area, 121,000 square miles that was ceded over in 1876. They used the Peace Pipe at the negotiating days.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
OCO is Cherokee for hello. This is Chia Sagonigay, also known as Will Bluewater. I'm the International Communications Director for the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. I'm speaking on behalf of the Seven Clans and beloved woman Sharon Rogers, wife of Chief Priest and Principal Chief Charles L. Yatlohi Rogers, M.D., oncologist. Their family discovered the tomb in Mexico of Sequoia, the world-famous inventor of the Cherokee alphabet and the namesake of the Cherokee National Forest in California. The state of Oklahoma was very nearly named the state of Sequoia. Nación Cherokee de México, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, is known in the United States as the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia of Mexico, Texas, and the USA Reservation and Church. Free of any charge, we are accepting citizenship and adoption applications, not only from Cherokee descendants, but from all people of good heart, from all lineages, just as we did for the 10,000 plus years before the United States government fairly recently imposed restrictions on Cherokee citizenship. Tennessee Governor Sam Houston had not one drop of Cherokee blood, yet he left office and later became Kalanu, or Speaker of Council, second only to Chief John Jolly of the Cherokee Nation West. The Republic of Mexico has recognized the Cherokee four times since the 1700s, and Spain five times before that. We possess original physical copies of all those treaties. In January of 2001, the San Andres Accords, enabling government-to-government tripartite relationships between sovereign Indian nations and the government of Mexico, were passed by the Mexican Congress. A few weeks later, the first such sovereign Indian nation, Nación Cherokee de México, was federally recognized in a solemn ceremony in Torreón, the capital of the state of Coahuila, formerly known as the province of Coahuila in Texas. The ceremony was followed by a fabulous celebration, which was attended by Cherokee elders from all over the Americas, including citizens of the federally recognized Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, people like Squaw Yee, the famed bowmaker Al Heron. There is so much more to share with you, so I encourage you to visit our website at CherokeeDiscovery.com. While you are visiting the website, feel free to fill out a free citizenship application. Please be patient, though. We have no paid staff, and applications may take up to 9 months or more to get processed. If you're not a Cherokee, feel free to request adoption. And please don't forget, tell them Blue Water sent you. Ski. Wado.
Now along comes Prime Minister Stephen Harper saying that the treaties are no longer valid, which he's committing treason. You can hang him for that. Like he's saying that the treaties are no longer valid. He's going against the Creator and peace pipe treaties that are the foundations to international law. You know, you could hang the Prime Minister from the balls because he committed treason against us.
Well, that is
Steve.
Go ahead.
Well, remember I mentioned on your birth reading the eagle. I was looking and found out Meredith, according to one thing I'm seeing, he wrote something on universal law, but he's on YouTube. He's also Eagle Clan.
Well, us here, I think we are Eagle Clan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, people can look up and do a search on the net on Meredith Quinn and Universal Law.
Yeah, he's on YouTube. Just punch that in, Meredith Quinn Universal Law, and you'll find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you guys better listen to him because he died for trying to help his fellow Indians. In one of his writings, he writes down, Creator, please forgive me. I've tried all through these years trying to help my fellow Indian, but he does not understand. So I'm going to wash my hands off of this and go and retire. I've done everything possible already. This is what he writes down in his writings, and he retired after that. But that's when the guys went and found him in Salamanca, New York, and they made the videotape.
Yeah, if people are interested, look for, do a search on YouTube for Treaty Law, an interview of Meredith M. Quinn, Dakota Eagle Clan.
Yeah. That video you see on YouTube, it came from me because I was the only one that had that video, and I lent it to a friend of mine. The next thing I knew, it was on YouTube, which is okay with me because, you know, we want to let the people in North and South America, for that matter, to let them know who they are. Did you know only 35 square miles belong to the United States? All the rest of it does not belong to the United States. 17 square miles in Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. 18 square miles in Minnesota. All the rest do not belong to the United States. It belongs to the Indian, but the Indian doesn't know who he is. If you call yourself Native, then you don't know who you are.
Well, the United States government excuse
Native,
for...
Native was created by Noah's. And I got an autopsy report that belonged to my clan mother's sister who passed on. Now, get this. I'm going to tell you the story just because this is why I do the ceremony that I'm doing. Her sister passed on for about a year and a half, and she kept dreaming about her sister coming back from the sky, like, and handing her a piece of paper. Then one day she phoned me and said, come on over, come and read the autopsy report that I have, that, you know, I got about my sister. He said, so I went over there, and the white man called her North American Indian. This North American Indian died suddenly. Twice they call her North American Indian woman. And if you say the word Caucasomasis, all you're saying is the white race clan mothers, Caucasomasis. Then we have the North American Indian woman clan mothers. So there's a big difference between that two. They're Caucasomasis and North American Indian woman clan mothers. And where I'm living at, there are six lakes intertwined with each other. And according to the elders who used to do the shake tent, who used to speak to the spirits and whatnot, they told them Loon Lake, the six lakes surrounding is the most powerful of all of the surrounding area within the Treaty 6 area, for that matter. But where I live, you know, this is why we have a good finish every time we do our ceremony here, because like I said before, we feed the dinosaurs also, and we invite the people that passed on to come and eat and dance with us. We use those bundles because the bundles hold the hair of these old ladies, old clan mothers that, you know, hundreds of years back. But that's my that lodge I do. I 63 years old today, and I probably did it about 30 times already. Japan. Man, too much noise. Those are my great granddaughters.
Oh, before I forget, Steve, I want to offer you my condolences on the passing of your daughter.
Yeah. My daughter was killed by a serial killer in 1992-93, and she left behind two kids, one boy and one girl. the boy has four daughters, and her sister has one boy. So I got 70 great granddaughters and two great grandsons.
Oh.
But this is what I teach my grandchildren. They all know how to sing. But I send out word to the Lakota people that I'll be doing my ceremony September 5. Now it's only one day less. I said I was going to do it on the 6th. So I was hoping. Oh, Bigfoot and his people, I got their pipe with me. Why did that pipe make its way to me? If it's really the pipe that Bigfoot and his followers had. But the story, the guy who gave it to me said it came from that Wounded Knee massacre, that pipe. How long ago is that? 110 years ago? 120? Or how many years ago is that?
December 1890. 124 plus.
Yeah. How come it took that many years for that pipe to find its way to me? You know, I find it a mystery, you know, because I've been doing that ceremony for, you know, like I say, about 30 times now since I was born. That's my home. I feel at home in that ceremony. But I send out word to the Lakota people to try and come and at least one or two people to come and represent the pipe, you know, to make that tie between the Cree Nihiyawak and the Sioux, Lakota Sioux, through the ceremony.
Oh. Steve, have you ever seen a dance that was a spiral dance?
A what?
And rather than a round dance, it's a spiral.
Spiral.
It's a spiral.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, according to Wovoka's grandson was on the cast and crew of the movie Billy Jack. And Wovoka taught him exactly how the dance was done, and it was filmed in the movie Billy Jack.
Okay. Then it's no longer sacred, because when they filmed Man Called Horse, they filmed Richard Harrison being strung up in with those on his chest. Meredith Quinn wrote about that. He said it's no longer sacred. It's just another ritual because it's been filmed. See, us Indians are the ones that are destroying our ways, our culture, by allowing, like during the Sundance here lately, within the last 5-10 years, when they came out with these cell phones, you got guys in there sitting in a Sundance lot while somebody's singing. All of a sudden, the cell phone rings and they talk, you know. And they got young guys using cell phones right now as they were talking. They're using cell phones, taking pictures of us doing our prayer, doing our song, and they go out there and say, well, I know how to do this now.
Wow.
You know what I mean? They, you know, they're instant. We call them popcorn elders. They pop up all over these elders now.
Yeah.
Or plastic shaman.
Yeah.
That's what, there's a lot of those guys out there.
Yeah.
and it's destroying the meaning of our culture. You know, they don't do the proper protocol to go and ask an elder for the songs that the elder uses. We got these guys here in my reserve. You know, they sing my songs. I got up and told them, I said, you shouldn't do that. But they said, these are the spirit's songs anyway. I said, well, they might be the spirit's songs, but do you know which spirit owns this song? But they're getting a little over too smart, our younger generation. You know, they're destroying our culture by selling out. Just give me a minute there. I got to run to the bathtub.
Hey, while you do that, I'm going to play. It's a song called "The Lights," and it's about Indians and encounters with UFOs. It's a little under 6 minutes, so take your time.
Yeah. Okay.
Just
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now. And we are back with Steve Morningchild and Mark Borcherding. And so everything come out all right, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you got to inspect that plumbing regular. Keep it running up there on the reserve. Not very forgiving. But yeah, did you ever hear that song before?
Nope, not me.
That was Robbie Robertson come out with that. I think about 94 or 95, something like that. And good song. Song on there about the ghost dance and several other songs. And I'll put a link up to it because there's some really, really good, deeply spiritual songs. Robbie's of Six Nations descendant. And but anyway, where were we? And if you get tired, you know, just let us know.
How long are you going to be having this talk? One hour?
Well,
or
we can go as long as you want or as short as you want.
Well, by 9 o'clock, I have to go next door. I got to
okay.
go to meet up with a friend of mine that he's having the same kind of ceremony I'm having.
Then we'll go about 5 or 10 more minutes then.
Okay, so we're going to discuss when is the time to lift the pipe for me and for him. He's going to do it a week after I finish. There's still, that ceremony is still alive. We just finished one here. That's been my last Tuesday, see, on the 5th, on the 5th we finished one. The same kind of ceremony that I'm doing. So it's still alive in our part of the world, of this country.
Well, let me ask something. Do you know anybody up at Joseph Big Head?
Yep.
Do you know Alex?
We just came from there.
You know Alex?
We just came from there. Who?
Oh, I think his name is Alex. He's a traditional leader up there. It's been several years. My friend Red Elk has spent a lot of time up there with them, and he and another friend of mine spent a summer up there. But yeah, I got
Alec,
the name wrong.
Alec Chicken Runner.
Yeah, that's the. Yeah, Red Elk.
There's the only one Alec that I know of is Alec Chicken Runner or Alec Kapipatau. They say Kapihilpatau. They said Chicken Runner. It must be that one there.
Yeah.
That's my cousin.
Yeah, Red Elk and I talked quite a bit about Joseph Bighead Band and some of the things they tried up there and some of their frustrations and. But, yeah, I figured you weren't too far from there. And
well, only about 50 miles south of
Okay.
That's where we were today, last night. Yesterday and today we were there.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, they had a ceremony.
Yeah, a few years back, they took Red Elk to sacred sites all across Canada.
Okay.
And met up with a lot of good folks up there. Don't mean to interrupt. I only got a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I like to mention is back in 1886 when Real Rebellion, they call it. Big Bear and Major Steel, they fought just a mile north to where I live. That was the last fire shot ever fired between a war between the Cree and the Northwest Mounted Police in 1886, yeah. And I only live about a mile south of there. We drive there every day when we go to town. But that's the last fire ever shot in anger in this part of the world, like, you know. That was 1886 in Canada, for that matter.
Do you know Martin Carrier?
Who?
Martin Carrier. He's a well-known Métis elder. We interviewed him.
Carrier. Carrier.
Yeah, Carrier.
No,
Martin
not,
Carrier.
I heard the name Carrier, yeah, but not. I don't know them people. See, I keep to myself here. I don't go around. Just to these ceremonies.
Right.
Yeah. When they have a big meeting, when they call for elders, I don't go there because, you know, I don't want to sell my prayers for a few dollars. You know what I mean? Because, like I say, there were a lot of popcorn elders popping up all over now with all the money being passed out by the big corporation. FSI, AFN, and MLTC, for that matter. You know, they pay a lot of money for elders to go and pray for them. But I don't do that, me. I just stay out of it.
Is that right?
That's why I'm not well known.
Yeah, you gotta. When you laugh, you sound like Ted Thin-Elk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I want to, you know, we only have a few minutes left. I want to thank to all the listeners that are listening to whatever I have to say. You know, if I offended somebody, I don't mean it as an offense meant. But the truth has to come out.
Yeah.
Like what I say, I'm an American Indian. I'm not Native American. I'm not putting anybody down, but you have to wake up. You ever hear the word wake up and clean house? When they say clean house, it means to clean your body, your mind, and whatnot. Look for the truth. You know, and I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but if you want me to speak again, I'll be available next Sunday, maybe same time, because there's another ceremony that I have to go to.
Well, we'd love to have you back anytime you want to. We've got, you're welcome to bring other guests on if you want to, but we've got some things scheduled for the next 3 weeks that I know of. And
okay.
But if you really got a message you want to get out, you know, we can go on another night, and that's no problem. You just let us know.
But we always pray for all American Indians. When we say Nuwahumaganak in Cree, it means all our relations, whether it's Sioux, you know what I mean, and Blackfeet or whatever, the Indian country. We always pray for everybody in the North America continent. You know, when we say that, you know, to the Creator, Great Spirit. We always pray for every one of them, you know, in the Indian country. It's not only us that we pray for ourselves. It's for everybody, you know, that wants to go back to their cultural. You know, we'll be available to teach anybody that comes along. If you give me a cigarette, you know, you ask me a question, I'll be in your pocket until I make you understand who we are and what we're doing. Because that's what one elder told me. If somebody gives you one cigarette, you know, he's in your pocket until you finish
doing whatever it is that he wants you to do for him. Yep.
That's the way it should be.
Yep. Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
I like to see the day that the whole Indian people in North America get together and hear all that laughter we used to hear instead of the crying by our children, our hunger and whatnot, all this alcoholism, dope, you name it, you know, this is destroying us Indians. But I like to see each and every one of us get together and, you know, laugh and have a good time.
It's coming, Steve.
I hope to live to see the day, that day, you know, when we can say hello to each other and feel like that we're at home with other people's houses, you know, the way you used to be. But with that, I'd like to thank every one of you, everyone that's listening. If I offended somebody, I'm sorry, but, you know, the truth has to come out.
Oh.
But we'll be praying for each and every one out there. It's not only us that we pray for. But I'll have to go in a few seconds here. I have to go and see my friend there, the one that's going to be doing the same ceremony that I'll be doing.
Okay.
And, you know my number, you know. Just let me know. Phone me. Maybe even later on, after 10 o'clock, I'll be home. Be there about an hour. All right?
Okay. Hey, thank you so much, Grandfather Steve.
And thank the... What's that other guy's name again?
Mark.
Mark, yeah. I want to thank you, Mark. Thank you, each and everyone listening out there. My English is not that good, but I can get by.
Oh, you're doing great.
Welcome, Steve. It's good having you on the show. I'll be back again sometime.
Okay,
thank you. Good night now.
All right, thank you. You can call me back there after 10 o'clock. I'll be home.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye.
Good night now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy Keepers, Prophecy Keepers, Prophecy Keepers.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Surrounds us. like a lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you gave me.